dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business. SwissAmerica.com brings you the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host for an installment of the War of Ideas, which we will be waging with such stalwarts as Peter Schweitzer, a preeminent historian of our day, a man who has deeply immersed himself in Ronald Reagan's legacy. Its relevance to today is a subject we'll be talking about with Peter. What do we do about Iran? What would Ronald Reagan do about Iran? What do we do about Sharia? What would Ronald Reagan do about Sharia? He's now the editor-in-chief of Big Peace, a tremendous force multiplier for the good guys in the War of Ideas, and you'll be fascinated, I'm sure, by our conversation with him. Segment 3, John Bolton, former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, will be rejoining us to talk about, well, what is it now, 5 days and counting before Iran's irreversible nuclear Rubicon is crossed. So much for the Russian reset. What will it mean for all of us? And for the START Treaty as well. All of that with John Bolton in Segment 3. Segment 4, our featured guest of the day, Gordon Chang, back from behind enemy lines. We'll get his report on China from his visits to Hong Kong and the mainland, and an update on the coming conflict, perhaps, over the South China Sea. So all in all, a fascinating show, but first I want to give you an update about a subject we've been covering intensively here at Secure Freedom Radio, namely the Ground Zero Mosque. Now, since we last talked, President Obama has, of course, given his full-throated endorsement to this mosque and cultural center, as he likes to call it, to be built on private property, as he put it Friday night at the White House, that has been purchased in Lower Manhattan adjacent to the site where the World Trade Center's twin towers once stood. Now, interestingly, by Saturday, the president wanted the American people to know that he wasn't really commenting on the wisdom, as he put it, of placing such a mosque by that hallowed ground, just the right of its backers, like Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf, to do it, pursuant to the Constitution's protection of religious freedom. Unfortunately for the president, but fortunately for the rest of us, it's too late for such ludicrous contortions and dissembling. However much Mr. Obama and his fellow Democrats now regret his original White House statement, it has created a teachable moment for us. Not just about the Ground Zero Mosque, but about the larger enterprise it is unmistakably intended to serve, namely, bringing the law of Saudi Arabia and Iran, Sharia, to America. Now, Imam Rauf, the guy driving this whole mosque business, makes absolutely no bones about that being his purpose. In fact, he says he wants to bring Sharia to America. So do some of his most prominent backers, including the Muslim Brotherhood Front Group, the Council on American-Islamic Relations, and, most recently, the Muslim Brotherhood's Palestinian franchise, the designated terrorist group known as Hamas. In fact, according to one of our colleagues, Aaron Klein, who is a host of a WABC radio show and had Mahmoud al-Azahar, a co-founder of Hamas and one of its leaders in Gaza, on his show yesterday, al-Azahar is saying that, quote, we have to build the mosque at Ground Zero. We have to build everywhere, in every area. We have, as Muslims, we have to pray. and this mosque is the only site of prayer. Well, this is an interesting insight, as Al-Zahar talks about the tradition of Islam and advises us that even, quote, the Islamic people or Muslims in the United States are now living in what he calls the tradition of Islam or Sharia. Well, that's news to most of us, and it's news we need to have. But so is the teaching that the president's decision about embracing the Ground Zero Mosque informs us on several other points. For example, we now know the president is willing to associate with members of the Muslim Brotherhood, not just in Cairo, where he insisted they attend his now famous address, his paean to Islam last year, but actually in the White House itself. For example, he had leaders of known Muslim Brotherhood front groups like Ingrid Mattson of the Islamic Society of North America and Salam al-Mariati of the Muslim Public Affairs Council in the company at the iftar dinner on Friday when he fervently embraced, at least initially, the Ground Zero Mosque. Now, this is a very important insight because, as we have talked about here a lot, the mission of the Muslim Brotherhood, as we know from a document introduced uncontested into the record of the largest terrorism finance trial in U.S. history, the Holy Land Foundation case, the Brotherhood's mission in America is, quote, destroying Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believer so that it is eliminated and God's religion is made victorious over all other religions. Now, the question occurs, what on earth is the President of the United States doing fraternizing with and thereby legitimating operatives of an organization with such a palpably seditious mission? To say nothing of what is he doing endorsing their most immediate priority, the Ground Zero Mosque. Well, we've learned some other things, too. We've learned that the administration is promoting this guy, Rauf. He's being sent on a taxpayer underwritten trip, a fundraising trip, let's be honest about it, to Arab capitals as we speak. But there's much more to be learned. For example, why is the U.S. government promoting the Brotherhood's efforts to penetrate our capital markets through Sharia-compliant finance? Which other Sharia-adherent Muslims are getting their expenses paid by the State Department? To what end? What record do we have of anything to show for this? Anything good for America, at least? And why did Team Obama co-sponsor a resolution last fall imposing Sharia blasphemy laws, clearly at odds with the First Amendment's protection of free speech? All of these are the sorts of things we need to be taught about urgently. We're doing it here at Secure Freedom Radio. We're very glad to have you with us for these teaching moments, especially when they're enabled by the President of the United States. Be getting into all of that and more with Peter Schweitzer straight ahead. Peter Schweitzer of BigPeace.com on the Ground Zero Mosque, North Korea, and what would Reagan do? A question all of us ought to be pondering. Peter Schweitzer, straight ahead.
Do you want the big picture on national security and foreign policy? Find out what Ronald Reagan meant by peace through strength at securefreedomradio.org. You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Pat Boone here with a news flash. Finally, there's something conservatives and liberals can agree on. Gold. For thousands of years, gold has united mankind regardless of race, religion, or politics. Gold conserves wealth from financial uncertainty, a higher cost of living, and higher taxes. Yet gold also offers liberal benefits, such as growing fourfold since 2001. In fact, gold transcends left-right politics because its value is based upon ultimate economic truth and substance. So, whether you're a conservative, liberal, or independent, gold should be a part of your portfolio and family legacy. Call Swiss America now and request their free 2010 DVD, CD, and Economic Realities Report.
Call now, 888-393-7513. That's 888-393-7513. 888-393-7513.
Imagine you are a small child living a constant nightmare of abuse and neglect. Late one night, you are rescued from this awful situation and whisked off to a shelter. It happens so fast you have no time to take anything with you. No stuffed animal, no special blanket, not even a clean change of clothes. Scared and with people you don't even know, you have nothing to cling to for comfort. Sadly, each year in America, over 300,000 children endure this trauma and are placed in foster care with empty hands and empty hearts. That's where we come in. With your help, My Stuff Bags Foundation can give these kids their very own My Stuff duffels filled with new toys, a stuffed animal, and other desperately needed items. Let's show thousands of children across America that people do care about them with new belongings and new hope. Please call 8663-MY-STUFF or visit mystuffbags.org. That's 8663-MY-STUFF or mystuffbags.org. Thank you.
I'm Peyton Manning. On the football field, I always have to prepare for the unexpected. My teammates and I train to think fast and be ready ahead of the game. You can be ready with the help of your local American Red Cross. The American Red Cross can help all of us prepare for life's emergencies. Take life-saving CPR or first aid courses. Make an emergency plan or learn how to build a disaster supplies kit. Contact the American Red Cross today.
Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org to learn more.
Pick you up after school. Okay, I got it.
It's easy to take a day for granted. You and your family are connected by routine and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if your day's routine is disrupted and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Today. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Ready.gov. This message brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
Check it out, it's the Terminator. Hey, when'd you get back, huh?
Did you have to shoot anyone?
Why are you so distant? Are you not happy to see me?
So what's the deal? You gonna get a job now or what?
Why are you being so jumpy?
Put all that stuff behind you, okay?
No one knows what it's like to come back from Iraq or Afghanistan unless they were there. Join other veterans at communityofveterans.org because we know where you're coming from. Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. We are joined by a friend and colleague of the First Order. He is Peter Schweitzer. He is now the editor-in-chief of Big Peace, a man who has written a number of best-selling books about, among other things, Ronald Reagan and his strategy for victory against the Soviet Union. And that's a topic we're going to come back to in a minute. But, Peter, I want to welcome you back to Secure Freedom Radio. Congratulations. I think the last time we talked, you were just about to launch Big Peace. And it is up and going, and it seems to me a tremendous force multiplier for the good guys in the War of Ideas. So congratulations, and again, welcome back.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. We're very blessed to have wonderful contributors, including people from the Center for Security Policy and Dan Pipes and others. And so we're very excited about the launch of Big Peace and the interest in the traffic we're getting. It's a real change for me going from writing books, which tend to move at sort of the horse and buggy rate, to the supersonic, hypersonic speeds of the Internet. But right. I'm enjoying it.
Right. Well, and I think it's having a real impact. Let's touch very quickly on a couple of things that you've been covering lately. We'll be talking at greater length with Gordon Chang later in the show about the South China Sea. You had an important report there over the weekend about China's assertion of its dominance in that part of the world. Give us just a sense of what that's about, and then tell us a little bit about your own writings on North Korea, another critically challenging part of that East Asian complex.
Yeah, you know, it's very interesting. I think in the United States we've been very focused on the war on terrorism, and rightfully so. That seems to be the largest challenge. But there is a lot of activity involving other competitors and adversaries that are out there, notably China. China is flexing its muscles. It's exerting territorial claims in the South China Sea, places like the Spratly Islands, where there is and has been historical dispute about ownership of islands and the extent to which who controls the sea lanes in those areas. And I think China is looking very much like a power that is on the rise and that sees a vacuum in that region. So the concern is that because oil and other natural resources are at stake, that they may take this opportunity as the United States is weakened and diverted to really exert themselves in Southeast Asia. And a lot of our traditional allies who don't have the military and political muscle and economic muscle, for that matter, to stay with China are very much feeling threatened. So I think it's important for us to not remove our gaze from that region of the globe.
Yeah. And in that regard, you had a somewhat tongue-in-cheek piece, as I recall, about visiting North Korea to celebrate its anniversary. Tell us quickly about that.
Yeah, the North Koreans on their website are trying to recruit people to come and visit North Korea. Great tourist destination, Frank. If Canada and France and other countries are not on your list, certainly put North Korea there. But it's funny because it has a description in there on how you're expected to behave yourself, and they make it very, very clear that if you don't behave yourself, you will be dealt with accordingly. I guess in North Korea, even tourism is done in the with the Stalinist model.
That's right. You'll be seeing parts of North Korea that aren't generally on the tourist route. Peter, very quickly, again, I'm trying to move along because I want to save some time about Reagan and his vision and what he would do today. But just I wanted to salute you for giving me some space. Thank you. But more to the point, covering brilliantly at bigpeace.com this Ground Zero mosque controversy, and we'll be talking a little bit about it with Ambassador John Bolton in the next segment. But what is your reading on what the president is doing by embracing the mosque and then sort of backing and filling a little bit on it?
Well, I think it shows two things. I think it shows, number one, what his proclivities are, which is he does not understand the Islamic threat. I think the second thing is it shows how totally isolated he is from the national pulse. I mean, all the polls show consistently that people are very worried about this, concerned, and don't agree with it. And yet he comes out with this bold statement saying that, I think it's a good idea and we should back it. So it's very worrisome because this extends beyond just the issue of building this mosque.
Yep.
It goes to the heart of this sort of ideological conflict and battle of ideas that we're engaged in right now, and that he seems to be totally oblivious to.
Yeah, it's really worrying, and it goes to the heart of the concerns we've all had about him on this Sharia count. And more on that at Big Peace and elsewhere in the days ahead. But let me segue to this topic that I know you've devoted much of your professional life to and written so brilliantly on, including in my personal favorite, your book, Victory, which really laid out the strategy that Ronald Reagan quite deliberately articulated and then executed to destroy the Soviet Union. I'd want to just see what you would say, Peter Schweitzer, about lessons from that experience. Perhaps put it in a way, how would Ronald Reagan be dealing with the Iran threat today, or more generally, the Sharia threat today, based on what you know about the kind of strategy that he mapped out and then delivered on in the 1980s?
Well, it's funny because it's really a complete reversal of what President Obama is doing right now. The first thing is that Reagan was less interested in engaging with the elites from the Soviet Union than engaging with the Russian people. And his argument was very clear and very accurate, which is the first victims of communism were the people that had to live in that oppressive system. So, you know, he had summit meetings with Gorbachev where if you look at the transcripts, he was very frank and direct. But oftentimes in radio addresses, Radio Free Europe, and also in speeches that he gave, he talked directly to the Russian people, and he talked about the fact that he saw the difference between the two. That is certainly what we ought to be doing today, but you see with Obama is basically kowtowing to the elites, the Islamic extremist elites or the national leaders in Iran, and completely ignoring the people that are the victims in this case. That's the first thing that I would say. So you need to look at who your allies are. Your allies are not the leaders and the elites. They are the people who are the victims. The second thing is to recognize that ideas matter. Reagan stood up and called the Soviet Union the evil empire. We know from dissidents, people like Nathan Sharansky and others behind the Iron Curtain, this was huge. Speaking truth to power, as they used to say in the 60s, applied in this case and was successful. Again, Obama's not doing that. He's not talking about the oppressive, dangerous nature of Islamic extremism, and he needs to be doing that. That is going to enliven and embolden the elites, general populace in those countries to rebel. And then the final thing, I guess, that I would say is that Reagan believed you don't play to your opponent's strengths. You play to their weaknesses. You find out what their vulnerabilities are. And in the case of Iran, again, you don't see Obama with that mindset at all. You see Obama basically letting Iran pick and choose the venue and the field of battle, which is, you know, diplomacy and public opinion, rather than saying, here's what their weaknesses are, and this is where we're going to play this conflict out.
Yeah. We're talking with Peter Schweitzer, author of Victory and many other marvelous books, not least serving now as the editor-in-chief of a marvelous new web portal. If you're interested in national security, you're listening to the show because you are, you should be visiting regularly. Bookmark, bigpiece.com. Closing seconds, Peter, I guess I would just add to this very important litany that Ronald Reagan also understood the importance of using every instrument of national power, including financial tools, including public diplomacy, including covert operations, in order to try to bring down an enemy. And we're seeing, as you say so well, none of that this time around. In fact, to the contrary, we seem to be doing an awful lot to withhold that kind of use of power and in fact, prop up our enemies instead of bringing them down. Peter Schweitzer, thank you so much for joining us. This is a short course of a very rich subject, and we look forward to having you back soon. In the meantime, keep up the great work at bigpeace.com. Next up, we have the United States Ambassador to the United Nations, one of the truly great ones, now formerly in that role, John Bolton. We'll be talking with him about the Ground Zero Mosque, the Russian restart, and more. Straight ahead.
Download podcasts, hear clips, read the bios of the amazing people Frank Gaffney interviews, all at securefreedomradio.org. Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
The following commercial is sponsored by FeedThePig.org, an organization devoted to helping you save money. We will not entice you with messages like
lowest prices in town, dealer approved, certified pre-owned,
no obligation consultation,
nor will we brag about our
huge selection, enormous variety,
one-stop shopping,
everything under one roof,
or promise
prices reduced up to 75%.
A sale like this can't go on forever. Factory liquidation.
Financing options available.
We will offer no contingencies like
see store for details.
Prices and participation may vary.
Legal exclusions apply.
No purchase necessary.
We'll try to convince you that our product will give you
cleaner, tighter abs in minutes.
Perfect smile. Porcelain veneers.
Freedom from those painful, embarrassing bunions.
Because we simply want to help you spend smarter and save better. Log on to FeedThePig.org. Find the benefits of saving for every stage of life. Brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Can I have a price check on aisle... ma'am?
Yeah.
Don't look down, but there's a giant python wrapped around your leg.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's probably nothing.
Nothing? Shouldn't I I don't know, like call someone?
No, I don't have the time. I'm late as it is. If it keeps up, I haven't looked at.
Are you sure? That's a pretty big snake.
No, I'm fine. Thank you, though. You're very sweet.
You wouldn't ignore this, so why ignore the signs of a stroke? If you or someone you know suddenly experiences numbness of the face, arm, or leg, or sudden trouble speaking, seeing, or walking, don't wait to get help. Call 911 right away, because time lost is brain lost. To find out more, visit www.strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE. This message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
This morning, a woman reached out. A man stepped up. A family drove their elderly neighbor to the doctor. Someone took 2 hours of their morning to help someone else find affordable childcare near work. Somebody sat down with 16-year-old Steven and taught him better note-taking skills and study habits, and suddenly, toughing it out till graduation seemed to Steven a pretty good idea. All this happened today. It'll happen tomorrow. It's happening here, there, right down the street. People are living united. We're not just wearing the shirt, we're living it. We're realizing that the way we live our lives can impact the way others live theirs, their education, their income, even their health. So do something, any little something, as long as it's something. Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hey, it's me, your piggy bank. Remember when you were a little kid? All the dimes and quarters in my back. Yeah, that was good times. Good times. Now lately, I gotta be honest, you've been ignoring me. Money's been slipping through your hands like a greased pig. Get it? Because I'm a... Anyway, I know how it is. Now that you get a real paycheck, it's nice to have stuff. You'll start saving money next year. Well, I hate to tell you, but good saving habits start now. Put just 20 bucks in the bank a month. Make your own coffee at home instead of that latte every morning. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Those changes alone could save you thousands of dollars a year. Come on, I'm your piggy bank. We can be together again, me and you, the special times. Anyway, if you don't want me to cry anymore, feed me. Go to feedthepig.org for more ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message is brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
And welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay, this is one number that's yours. It's a 5, but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is not yours.
Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong. The lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. Thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Radio that improves your chances for survival in a dangerous world. Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney. Make Facebook your source for essential national security analysis. Search for Frank Gaffney and add him to your friends list.
Welcome back. We have with us for this segment of Secure Freedom Radio, one of my personal heroes and all-time favorite guests, Ambassador John Bolton, formerly the U.S. Representative to the United Nations, and now truly one of America's great statesmen on matters of vital importance to our national security. And we're going to talk about three of them, I'm hoping, in the course of our brief conversation with you today, Mr. Ambassador. First of all, welcome back. Thanks, you, as always, for joining us.
Always glad to be here.
Great. Let's jump right into the Ground Zero Mosque. I editorialized a moment ago before you joined us about what the bizarre sort of contortions that the president is now going through to try to sort of walk back what he said on Friday might mean for our understanding of the larger agenda here that this mosque is designed to serve, namely promoting Sharia in America?
Well, I think that the most stunning thing about what the president has been saying and changing and repeating and pulling back is what contempt it shows for the American people. To start out that we all suffer from the traumatic effects of 9/11 as if he doesn't, and therefore he has a clearer picture of what it actually means, I just thought was shocking. But the changes that he's made in his own position, I think also indicate he just doesn't think the American people can keep up with him. And I think that's really stunning given the overwhelming majorities of public opinion polls that say that people think the mosque ought not to be built there. Not that they don't think there ought to be some restriction on freedom of religion, but that they think it is entirely inappropriate to construct this mosque, at least by these people, at the site of 9/11.
Yeah. And in point of fact, I think what they're actually understanding, and the president's, you're right, his condescension is reminiscent of that old line about, you know, clinging to their guns and religion.
Exactly.
This isn't really about faith in the final analysis. Sharia is about power. It's about substituting, as you know, Mr. Ambassador, the program of Saudi Arabia and Iran, their laws and bizarre, you know, practices on us. And the American people have got this exactly right, I think. Let me segue quickly to speaking of Iran. The warning that you issued last week, a very stern warning that we are now days away from what I think of as sort of a nuclear Rubicon being crossed in Iran. Tell us what you think is going on and what should be done about it.
Well, what this shows in the first place is there's no reset in the relationships with Russia. We have pressed Russia for a long time not to finish that reactor at Bushehr, then not to deliver the fuel, and now not to put the fuel in, and they've ignored us every step of the way, including this past week, obviously, during the Obama administration. What it means is that if the fueling of the reactor goes ahead in due course, a 1,000-megawatt reactor will be functioning in Iran, inevitably producing plutonium in the spent fuel, which will give Iran a second route to nuclear weapons in addition to its uranium enrichment program. Now, the fact that this reactor apparently will soon be working is a major victory for Iran. This gives them something Saddam Hussein was never able to achieve, something that Syria was not able to achieve, all during the watch of a president who says he doesn't want to see the spread of nuclear weapons.
Yeah, and the practical effect of building this plant, this nuclear reactor, and fueling it, as you say, and producing plutonium with it, is going to be to not only give them a second route to having nuclear weapons, but as I understood it from your remarks Friday, it really essentially makes it impossible, once the thing is fueled, to strike that facility, lest one scatter highly enriched or otherwise, you know, deeply radioactive materials all over the place. What does that mean, Ambassador John Bolton, in terms of not just the security of folks in the region, but us, if we in fact see Iran getting away with crossing this Rubicon?
Well, it will be a signal far and wide that American efforts to prevent nuclear proliferation have failed. And the point I think that the Iranians, and let's be clear, the Russians understand, is that while everybody was focused on the uranium enrichment program, they've gone ahead and come very close to activating this alternative. And it is a guarantee, it seems to me, once the reactor is fueled and begin operation, that Iran will have access to nuclear weapons capabilities even if Israel were to strike the uranium enrichment alternative. You know, if Israel had moved against Bushehr as it did against Saddam Hussein, as it did against that North Korean nuclear reactor in Syria back in 2007, well before this had happened, then we wouldn't be in this difficult situation. But they were under enormous pressure from the Obama administration not to act, and now we're faced with what is virtually a fait accompli. Israel has simply days left if it's going to strike, I think, not only Bashir, but the uranium enrichment program in Iran as well. I really doubt Israel has the luxury of first striking Bashir and then waiting a few months and going after the uranium enrichment program.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're right. I think there's a likelihood that all hell will break loose if they don't not only take down all of these facilities to the best of their ability, but also really cripple the ability of that regime to maintain control. It's got to be all or nothing. And I agree with you, Mr. Ambassador. We are days away. 21st of August, I guess, is the date the Russians have indicated will be the fueling point. Speaking of the Russians, in the remaining minute or two we have with you, Mr. Ambassador, let's talk about one of the main tokens or talismans of this reset relationship that we keep hearing so much about from the Obama administration with the Russians, namely the New START Treaty. You have taken a very forceful position against it, and I know you're aware that there's a new Rasmussen poll that has just come out of 1,000 adults that has some striking findings. I mean, I don't think it'll surprise you, certainly doesn't surprise me, that the American people believe by some 77 to 15% that nuclear weapons in this country's arsenal are either very important or somewhat important, as opposed to not very important or not important at all. This and their view that there ought to be a continuing modernization of that arsenal is absolutely athwart the administration's policies, not just towards START, but also its larger nuclear posture. Give us your sense of what the kind of insight this poll provides tells us, not only about the American people, but about what we should be doing, what we should ask our senators to be doing about START in the days ahead.
Well, you know, this shows just how clear-headed the American people are, even if their administration in Washington is not. And I think it's extremely important that word of this poll get around. You know, look, I think this treaty ought to be defeated. I don't think there's any question about it. But I know that a number of senators, some on the Republican side, some on the Democratic side, are worried about being looking as though they're opposed to responsible arms control. And that's one reason why the Obama administration thinks it can ram and jam this treaty through in September. Well, senators ought to take a look at where the American people really are, and they've got other urgent work they can do in September. There are plenty of defects with this treaty the administration can't explain. So I think at a minimum, this ought to say to everybody in the Senate, there is no rush on this treaty. The American people don't like it. They understand the risks that it runs. They see that Russia has not changed its views about the United States. There's just no need for this treaty to go through.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And your leadership on this is so appreciated. And you're absolutely right. It's where the American people are on the question of whether we should reduce the number of nuclear weapons. 57% say no. Should we halt the development of new nuclear weapons? 46% say no. And 55 to 37%, they think that the rest of the world isn't going to follow our lead if we go down this crazy route the administration has in mind. Ambassador John Bolton, thank you so much for your leadership and for your periodic appearances here at Secure Freedom Radio. Come back soon. We'll be watching with bated breath what happens in Iran in the days ahead. Finally, we will be talking with Gordon Chang. Speaking of crises, what is the report from China? Straight ahead.
First line of defense in the war of ideas. Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney. Miss a show? Find podcasts of Frank and the world's leading national security experts and policymakers at securefreedomradio.org. Ever vigilant. Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Hello, friend. Pat Boone here with some good financial news for a change. Although stocks, bonds, and real estate may be stuck in a rut this year, the next mega stage of the long-term bull market in gold and silver is just beginning. Experts say gold will soon rush to new historic highs because gold alone is real money and offers value, safety, and growth. Gold is no longer a luxury. Today it's a necessity. Safety first. Start now by letting Swiss America educate and inspire you to rediscover gold for your existing IRA. Ask for their rare opportunity DVD and CD. Stop worrying about financial gloom and do something to protect yourself.
Call now, 888-393-7513. That's 888-393-7513.
Swiss America knows gold.
Call now, 888-393-7513. That's 888-393-7513.
Most days go by without a whole lot of surprises. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life, as you know it, has completely turned on its head? Would you be prepared? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
Hands can do incredible things. They made every sound in this piece of music. But nothing compares to using them to help save a life. If an adult suddenly collapses, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of their chest until help arrives. It's called hands-only CPR, and it's recommended by the American Heart Association. Visit handsonlycpr.org today. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.
As a veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, joining IAVA.org really helps in the transition home. It's a network of OIF and OEF vets like me who've got your back here, just like we did over there. That means when you need help navigating the GI Bill, we've got your back. And when you're dealing with the transition home, we've got your back. Or when you just want someone to share stories with, we've got your back. Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IAVA.org. We've got your back.
Brought to you by IAVA and the Ad Council.
Fire took place 3 years ago. There was a lightning strike. The winds picked up and the fire just took off. You're in shock. You don't know what you're feeling. You have nothing. I lost my home and 40 years worth of art. I never thought that I would need help from the Red Cross. They gave me emotional support to get up in the morning. I'll never forget what the Red Cross did for me.
Contact your local Red Cross chapter or visit redcross.org.
Joel Klein catches a 7 o'clock train after his evening CPR class at the American Red Cross.
Ron Garrity's on the same train. He's had a rough day and doesn't feel like himself. Until he feels the sudden tightness in his chest, Ron never thought he'd actually have a heart attack.
Until Joel is administering CPR, he never thought he'd actually save a life.
When you train with the Red Cross, you change a life.
Starting with your own.
Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org to learn about life-changing opportunities in your...
Hey, Charlie, what gives?
Hey, did you see that play last night?
Oh, unbelievable. What do they feed that guy?
Yeah, but they still lost.
Yeah, I know.
You know, when I was playing, what we tried to
you,
do...
You played on Biltmore Street.
Hey, come on. I play in the service.
Oh, right.
Anyhow, what I'm trying to say is the kid, he
should have fallen down. Hey, you okay? Stop joking around. Oh, no. Someone call 911!
It can happen anytime, any place, without warning. Fact is, 2 out of 3 people with diabetes die of a heart attack or stroke, and many don't even know they're at risk. The good news is, if you or someone you love has diabetes, you can lower the risk. But it's up to you to ask your healthcare provider how. For more information, go to diabetesactnow.org. That's diabetesactnow.org. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association and the Ad Council.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio. Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We are joined, as ever, on Mondays by our friend Gordon Chang, just back from a trip behind enemy lines into both Hong Kong and, at least I think for a little bit, into the mainland. And Gordon, we're delighted that you've returned to us in one piece. Thank you so much, as always, for joining us. But tell us a little bit about your travels and how it is that someone who says what you say, not just here, but at Fox News and Forbes.com about China, the truth, but nonetheless unwelcome information, I'm sure, from the Chinese point of view, how it is they let you in and more to the point, how they let you out.
Thanks, Frank. I went to Hong Kong, which is technically part of the People's Republic of China, but which is not behind the curtain. I also went to Macau, which is also another special administrative region of China, and I went into China itself, into Shenzhen, which is in Guangdong Province, which is the province that surrounds Hong Kong and Macau. Now, I get my visa by going to a travel agency in Hong Kong, in New York, and my passport, my wife's passport, gets submitted with 50 other people who want to travel. The leaders in Beijing, in a sense, are sort of confident of, because they realize that the United States is not going to challenge them, and so therefore, you know, they don't see me as a threat. But that's just my guess, of course, but nonetheless, we got some pretty prideful and arrogant leaders in Beijing, and so in a sense, they think they rule the world and they don't have to worry about me.
Yeah, well, I pray that they will continue to treat you carefully and well, and that you'll continue to be telling the truth, as you do here every week, about what they're up to. And let's talk a little bit about that, Gordon Chang, because as you know, we are today having the United States and South Korea once again engaged in naval exercises, this time, as I understand it, in the Yellow Sea, where the Chinese, as well as the North Koreans, have told us not to go with such capabilities. What is the latest from that front? Does this betoken a new sense of determination on the part of the U.S. government? And what do you think the response might be from the Chinese and North Koreans?
Well, today we are beginning our exercises in the Yellow Sea, and we're introducing the George Washington, the Nimitz-class carrier, into the Yellow Sea. This is significant because in joint exercises that we had with the South Koreans last month, we decided to move the exercises from the Yellow Sea close to China to the Sea of Japan farther away. And we did that because of public and private threats from Beijing. The Obama administration was essentially intimidated. Then the North Koreans started to intimidate us because they saw that Beijing did so as well. And I think this got a little bit too much for the Pentagon and for the State Department. And what we have seen is a new attitude on the part of some parts of the federal government. And that's why we're sort of poking the Chinese in the eye and saying, cut out these threats. We wouldn't have gotten to this point, though, where Beijing has been issuing all of these really unkind words, to say the least, if it weren't for a very passive and supine attitude that we had in the first 18 months or so of the Obama administration. And we did not need to go through this troubles with China. We should have been resolute from the beginning, and if we were, the Chinese would have understood the boundaries.
Yeah, and I guess the question is, you make it sound, and it's entirely plausible, that the Pentagon and the State Department have simply gotten their backs up because of the extent to which we're really being diminished by the Chinese, who've told us don't even think about bringing a carrier into waters that are international waters, but waters that they are increasingly asserting their suzerainty over. Where's the White House in this? They have been presumably the articulators and the drivers behind this policy of appeasement. Have they suddenly, you know, become preoccupied with other things, or do you think there's now a change in the White House attitude about all this, as well as on the part of the people who are most immediately involved?
I think the White House has been overwhelmed, really, by the response in the other part of the government. I don't think Obama really has changed his posture towards tough-minded nations like China, like North Korea, like Iran. But nonetheless, he is, as they say, being mugged by reality. And so essentially, I think in interagency discussions, they're just being essentially outvoted by others. Because clearly, Obama's policy towards China has not worked. It's actually made relations with Beijing much worse. And essentially, what Obama did, especially at the end of last year, was his national security advisor, on Asia, Jeffrey Bader, said that no issue in the world could be solved without China's cooperation. In effect, Bader gave the Chinese a veto over American foreign policy, and then the Chinese started to use it because then they went on a tear, starting with Copenhagen, with the climate change summit, the Dalai Lama, Taiwan arms sales, and the South China Sea, taking increasingly provocative and very dangerous positions. And so, therefore, in a sense, we created a lot of these problems that we have with China. Of course, China is the underlying cause, but China will tend to behave when they think the White House is resolute, and they will tend to misbehave when they think we're weak. And recently in the Obama administration, they thought that we were weak, and so this has caused the problems.
Gordon Chang, I certainly agree with that, and that perception would not be hard to come to about the White House and President Obama. In fact, as we've talked about for some time, I really believe the Obama doctrine can be described as emboldening our enemies, undermining our friends, and diminishing our country. And you don't want to be doing that with the Chinese, who, as you know better than I, have a long history of seeing people kowtow to them and behaving, therefore, more boorishly and more aggressively towards them. I wonder, we're going to have to wrap here, but there are increasing signs that perhaps the Chinese have reached a point where they believe they no longer need to be more accommodating if the administration asserts itself, that their power is such that they can actually stake claims to vast areas of the South China Sea, including mineral-rich areas. And, Gordon, we've talked from time to time about rare earth minerals and energy and other very valuable natural resources that the Chinese are determined to control. Do you think we've reached the point of no return, or do you think there still is an opportunity here to contain, really, communist China and its ambitions both in the region and beyond?
I think that we can contain China, and I think that we will. Nations in the region around the South China Sea are really looking to American leadership, and we supplied it last month at a regional security conference in Hanoi, where nations in the region and the United States came out with essentially a unified position on telling the Chinese that their territorial claims were ludicrous and that we would not put up for use of force, but that we said that it's in the national interest of the United States for a peaceful resolution of competing territorial claims. And I think that what we're going to see in the region are our nations banding together, essentially hedging against what they see as an increasingly aggressive China. What we see in China right now is a remilitarization of politics. That's not good. The United States needs to stand up to Beijing.
Yeah. Well, Gordon Chang, those are the kinds of words that we all do need to hear. We're very grateful to you for bringing them to us fresh from a firsthand trip behind enemy lines and for reporting so faithfully to us on the developments that are going to matter in the world that we're in today and for sure in the future. We'll look forward to joining you again next week for more on all of this. And in the meantime, thanks again for joining us. Well, that's it for this installment of Secure Freedom Radio. I hope you've found it useful and edifying as well, and that you'll join us again tomorrow, same time, same station, for more of what you absolutely need to know to secure your freedom and that of those you love. Till then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, brought to you by SwissAmerica.com.
Hands can do incredible things. This is the sound of 326 hands playing Mozart. This is the sound of 10,942 hands showing appreciation. 64 hands building a house for the homeless. 142 hands swimming a triathlon. 18 hands winning the big game. And this is the sound of two hands helping to save a life. It's called hands-only CPR, and it's recommended by the American Heart Association. If an adult suddenly collapses, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of their chest until help arrives. It's incredibly easy and effective. Hands can do incredible things, but nothing compares to using them to help save a life. Find out more about this latest method of CPR at handsonlycpr.org. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.